Welcome to Local Motion. I'm Corey Stanton. And on this program, we'll be talking about two organizations that work hand in hand with horses. Dreamcatcher Therapy Center and End of the Trail Rescue both are focused around horses and equine therapy. The Dreamcatcher Therapy Center is located in Olathe, Colorado, and was founded by Kathy and Bill Hamm in 1999. This year, they celebrated their 20-year anniversary. The Dreamcatcher Therapy Center is home to over 50 horses and offers a variety of therapy programs for ages 2 and up. I recently visited their ranch in Olathe and spoke to Kathy and several of her staff. First, we'll hear from Kathy Hamm, founder of Dreamcatcher and End of the Trail Rescue.
Well, we started Dreamcatcher Therapy Center because our daughter was born with Down syndrome in 96, and there was nothing in this area for kids with disabilities. Her speech therapist said, "Oh, you show horses and do all kinds of stuff with horses. Have you ever thought of doing something like this?" So I researched it, went to Denver because there was nothing here on the Western Slope. Went to Denver and talked to one of the founders over there about what they were doing and brought it back over here. It was Pegasus, actually, is what it was called in Littleton. And they were doing hippotherapy and therapeutic riding. So I brought it back over here, talked to the speech therapist. Her husband was the Rotarian of Montrose, and he was also the minister of the Methodist Church in Montrose. And he said, "Here, write this grant." I wrote it for $36,000, and I got $17,500 from the International Rotary. So that's what kind of started us, which shocked me that I got that. But yeah, that's how we started. It was just a summer program doing hippotherapy. But seeing what the kids were doing, we then researched in 2003 the mental health piece, which is equine-assisted psychotherapy. And that really took off.
Can you explain what hippotherapy is?
Hippotherapy is physical, occupational, or speech therapy on the back of a horse with a licensed therapist. So you're moving all your muscle mass and doing fine motor and cognitive all at the same time. So you're working your entire body and mind, riding the back of the horse, doing therapy, where at the hospital setting you're moving one muscle at a time. So we get a whole lot more accomplished and done quicker because kids are more apt to want to do this kind of therapy. They're excited about coming out and doing therapy, and they don't realize that they are getting therapy.
Is hippotherapy for all ages? What's kind of the age range for hippotherapy?
Hippotherapy is really primarily kids for several reasons. One, you have to maneuver them on the back of a horse. And two, kids, you need to start them young. Even though they have a disability and you may not know what it is, or you're anticipating that, I'll talk about my daughter, born with Down syndrome, she's going to have low muscle tone, speech problems. So you know they're going to have that. So start early to start developing it rather than waiting until it's passed and then it's going to take even more work to work. So hippotherapy, we usually do them young kids. We do start at 2 and they aren't always on the horse the entire time, but we do a lot of work in our therapy room too. Then as you mature into adulthood, really, you're as good as you're going to get. So we want to catch you younger. It's not to say that we can't help you, especially if it's a stroke, if it's paralysis. Those are the things that we can help in adulthood. But those with Down syndrome, as they age, you're not going to improve them. So then it turns into recreational.
What are some of the improvements that you've seen here at Dreamcatcher Therapy Center using hippotherapy?
We've seen kids just, you know, especially autistic kids, a lot of CP kids that are able to function better in school, have a whole lot more attention span, follow direction. We've had people that can walk better. So it's just a lot of fine motor, a lot of cognitive ability to be able to speak more. And then with the trunk strengthening, seeing them be able to vocalize louder instead of so quiet. When you bend down like this, you're kind of bent down and you just don't talk as loud. But if you're sitting up straight, you can vocalize a lot more. So we've just seen kids just excited to come and do therapy. Mm-hmm. that alone puts a smile on your face. My daughter communicates with people now. She's an adult. I say that this place helped her because she was so involved with therapists and horses and everybody around. But it's not just about my daughter. It's about helping people in general. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I have that spot to trying to help people, which then in turn has me helping animals.
Yeah. So, I'm assuming you grew up with horses.
Oh, yeah. When I could walk, I was riding. I've shown professionally in the Paint Horse Association and did a lot of horse training. Just loved just to get out in the mountains and ride. Yeah. So, yeah. Horses were my saving grace. So I can still go out to my herd out here when I've had a bad day and just go out there and scream. And they'll go, oh, it's okay. It's just Kathy. She's just taking a break or debriefing or something. So, yeah, they understand.
You actually go out there and scream out loud?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully my neighbors don't hear me. It's just a stress release, you know?
It sounds great. I want to do it.
Sure. Come on. Let's go scream.
What are the horses' reactions to this?
They'll look. Some might be startled, but most of them really understand what's going on. And that's where the mental health piece with equine therapy is so powerful, because these horses know more about what's going on with us than we do.
For someone who's never heard of equine-assisted therapy, can you summarize that?
It's basically working with a licensed therapist, mental health therapist, the client, and a horse. And you do activities together. It's not about that you do them the way we, as people, we like to say, this is how you need to do it. It's not about how you do it. It's that you attempt to do it at all. There is debriefing, but how did it affect you? What did that horse bring out in you? You know, some examples is we've had a child out here. There was a horse that was just constantly being bred to death, and the horse was petrified all the time. So we have this little girl who comes out, and we let the kids pick the horses. This girl wanted to work with this horse, and I said, absolutely not. I don't know this horse yet, and I got to get to know to figure out what's going on with the horse before I let anybody involved. Next thing I know, this girl is in the arena walking towards this horse who's probably 16 and a half hands tall. You watch that girl walk over to that horse and wrap her arms around the front leg of that horse, and that horse drops its head and wraps its head around her. Come to find out, as we went on through many sessions with this individual, she was being sexually abused by her mom's boyfriends. And the horse let us know all this stuff because the girl felt safe enough telling the horse what's been going on in her life. And she was there coming to us because she was doing traditional therapy, the four-wall setting, and they couldn't figure out what was really wrong with her. But the horse will bring it out because kids are more apt to say really what's going on in their lives when they're with the horses.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the other programs that you have. You currently work with veterans.
Yes, we've been working with veterans for several years. My husband's a retired veteran, and veterans seem to, you know, do better when they're talking to someone who has been there and done that than just somebody who's doing mental health. So we have worked with the CHOICE program. The horse's brain and the veteran's brain that's been in war are very similar, a fight flight. So the horse will run because it's fearful, and the veteran in his brain is saying he's fearful but has been taught to stand and fight. So working with horses has really helped a lot of the veterans.
What's the first step for a veteran who's interested in equine therapy?
Just give us a call and we'll set you up to come out and one tour of the place, see if this is you're feeling comfortable here, because you have to feel comfortable. And then we can set you up with a therapist to visit with a therapist and do an intake. And we take all kinds of insurance, not just the CHOICE and the VA program, but we are a TRICARE provider. We bill Medicaid. We bill Blue Cross Blue Shield. We bill a lot of insurances right now. And the other thing is that we are considered a clinic, and we have a license. We're a clinic through the Office of Behavioral Health for the state of Colorado.
When you get the horses, where are you rescuing the horses from primarily?
They're pretty much coming from all over. It's turning into people don't want their horses anymore. I don't want to take them to the sale barn because I know what's going to happen. They're going to slaughter. It's going to be a horrible death. But we don't want to take care of it anymore. We want to travel, or my kids are gone, so it's just sitting here. I think it'd be a great thing for your program. Well, yeah, I have a lot of those. I don't get a whole lot from law enforcement because they don't really confiscate horses around here like they do in the Front Range. I'm in the process of working with Montrose County. I've talked to the county commissioners. It sounds like we might be able to try and start working something together. And I've talked to the Montrose County new sheriff, who is willing to have me come in and train his law enforcement officers about what to look for in cruelty. I am a cruelty investigator, and I have gone to school for that, and I have offered my services for free, basically because I believe it's important that we stop the animal abuse because it's getting worse. And as I have trained before a lot of people about the link between animal abuse and domestic violence, we at this center have seen a huge increase of child abuse, child neglect, divorce, kids just struggling, a lot of bullying going on, and it all stems from not taking care of your animal abuse issues, because it's a proven fact, and the FBI now puts it on their records that if you are charged with a felony of animal abuse, that you will have a background. 88% of the people that do abuse animals will go on and abuse people. And until we realize that there is a link between animal abuse and other violence, until you start accepting that, you're not going to make changes.
I just had no idea how much you offered here. To me, in my time being here, I've seen that it comes down to the connection with the horse and the horse's ability to not judge someone, but to read a human being and to provide some kind of connection.
And the horse will give you love back, unconditional love. We as people have conditions on all of our love, and the horse is all unconditional. Therapist is just helping them, guide them to really seeing how they can help themselves.
That was Kathy Hamm, founder of Dreamcatcher and End of Trail Rescue. Next, we'll hear from Steve Howarth, who is the main caretaker of all of the horses, and he's a volunteer coordinator at the ranch. Steve was also my tour guide and took the time to show me around and introduced me to a few of their horses.
We are a dual-purpose facility. The End of the Trail Rescue, we're caring for the 55 horses. And these horses are abused, neglected, abandoned, or simply horses who could no longer be cared for, owners who have aged out of their ability. What we do is horses that can be adopted out, young, trainable. You know, we seek to find them good, suitable homes. But so many of ours are aged, infirmed, in need of recovery. And so we provide everything they need till the day that they die. And when that day comes, they're buried here on the ranch. We take care of them to the very end. And then those horses that are appropriate for therapy, be it hippotherapy, that's riding therapy for children, or mental health therapy, which can be for all ages, horses that are appropriate for that get used for that dual purpose. And it's really wonderful with abused horses, children or adults who have gone through abuse or trauma themselves. There's a real sense of empathy back and forth, both directions. Makes it a really fine facility for therapy. Coming in right now, the one that is being led by our volunteer Sandy at Cheyenne. She's about 35 years old. She's been here 20 years. She was a great therapy horse, but you know, we let her retire here. And 2 years ago, she went completely blind. And this is her, I call her, this one, her C&I horse, Digger, her constant companion. And these two go out to pasture together with no other horses, just because Cheyenne is defenseless without her sight. But they're always just that close, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's very sweet. What's the second horse's name?
The second horse is Digger. And Digger's in his early 30s.
Wow. How long do horses live?
Typically, a lifespan would be 25 to 30 years. But we have a number of them who are in their 30s. And I think that just has to do with the sort of care we give and the attention. We'll go this way. I can introduce you to Rainbow. Rainbow, this beautiful paint, is actually paralyzed on the left side of her head. She can't see out of her left eye. Her left lip droops. Left side of her lip droops. Her left ear droops. She doesn't know she has any disability, though. She just enjoys her life here. A couple months ago, we had some residents of the nursing facility here in Olathe come and just visit us. And one of the women was in a wheelchair, and she was somewhat teary as she was describing to me her frustration over her stroke symptoms. I said, just a moment. I came and got Rainbow, and the two of them just spent time. Rainbow stood close to her as she reached out with her one good hand. And if Rainbow could have cried, I'm sure she would have, but the woman was crying. It was so touching. You know, she could just see the same struggle in the horse.
Why do you think horses are so receptive to emotion?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is horses are animals of prey. They are preyed upon, so they're always scanning for danger. And they're social creatures. They live in bands and herds, and they have to for their own safety. So they're constantly alert to what else is going on with the horses around them, ready to flee, protect. And so it's a beautiful thing that when we walk in to a pen, well, even before we do, they've got a read on us. Is this person anxious? Does this person look angry? Are they safe? Are they centered? Rainbow and Snowflake seem to think you'll be all right.
In your time here, what have some of the most inspiring moments been for you or that you've seen?
Sure. This summer, Pure Kindness, a nonprofit organization in Montrose that works to address bullying, I think in middle school age, came to us to see whether we might be able to partner with them. And so they brought out a middle school aged student who herself had been identified as a bullier and sort of gave her to me and said, well, do something with her and the horses. And I introduced her to a number of horses. I let her select the one she was going to work with for the next 6 weeks. She chose the youngest, strongest alpha male, which I just found amusing. But over those 6 weeks, although she had no equine experience, she learned how to read. This was Little Man, the horse. How to read Little Man, how to establish trust, how to approach appropriately, then how to halter, how to lead. And then I'd had her doing exercises such as trying to get Little Man to follow her through an obstacle course that she made, you know, without a lead rope, just trying to establish that sort of bond. Mm-hmm. And it was a really remarkable experience. Her mother said at the end of those 6 weeks that she was a different girl. And so I do trust she learned something about emotional regulation because it's frustrating. You can't force a horse, or at least you don't want to. But she also learned about empathy and learning to read another creature and to slow down and make a partnership. It was a beautiful thing.
Wow. If someone wanted to volunteer here, what's the best way to get in touch with you or who would they contact?
They can just contact our office. Leave a message saying they're interested in volunteering and I'll get back to them. Find a time to bring them out, see what they'd like to do, and put them to work. And we'd look for someone who'd be willing to volunteer for a few months at least. And that way they get to learn the routine and they can begin to build relationships with individual horses, which is what I would like to see.
We just heard from Steve Howarth, the volunteer coordinator and primary horse caretaker at End of the Trails Rescue, which is the nonprofit organization that provides the horses for all of the therapy programs offered at Dreamcatcher Therapy Center. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. And on this program, we're talking about equine therapy, horse therapy. Next, I spoke to Sandy Harnois. Sandy lives in Ridgeway and volunteers once a week at the ranch in Olathe. She drives 84 miles round trip to donate her time helping take care of the horses. Here's Sandy talking about why she volunteers at Dreamcatcher Therapy Center and End of the Trail Rescue.
I grew up with horses and I had all that. I had a bad car accident and a lot of ensuing injuries that have kept me from riding for a long time. And so just being able to be back with him, I feel like I've kind of gone full circle. I sponsored Digger. He has helped me through a lot and I think I've kind of helped him too. So
yeah,
it's a It's a pretty special place. Yeah. Just driving through the gate and seeing the horses, you know, and knowing them and know a lot of them know my car is really important. And then I really try to get here early so I can bring Cheyenne and Digger out and going and just having a moment with Digger where he closes his eyes and I close mine and just share a lot. I know it sounds goofy, but, you know, there's been communication between the two of us that a lot of times I'm brought to tears. And, you know, he lets me know when he's feeling bad energy, too. And he also lets me know when he would rather I take care of Cheyenne than work with him so that he can have a break and that he can do that. And so it's just the trust that they give you just blows me away because I give it back. And, you know, they're big animals, and I know I take a risk by being here, but I trust them, and I trust myself to be respectful of the size and the, all that, too. I'm living my life, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you're standing with Digger, for example, are you standing there just kind of next to him, or are you brushing him?
I do both. A lot of times I'll curry, you know, to get the skin flowing there or brush. And when I first came here, he was in a pretty bad way. And the reason I'm so close to him is I came up and he was down. It was 6 degrees. And so my job was to work with him in the barn to get him dry and do that and walk. And it was a real connection thing. But just really working with him, you know, I just kind of saw his spirit. I left one day and I was in tears because I didn't think he'd be here when I got back. But just from, not me, but from the energy, the chiropractors and Patty who does energy work and everything, having people come together for him, just, he's a different horse now. And I've really found a family here, you know, like Steve and everyone. And it's just been really nice because I just moved here a little over a year ago, started volunteering here a month after I moved. So it's really helped me to meet new people and, you know, find a family. So,
yeah.
That was Sandy Harnois, one of the volunteers at Dreamcatcher Therapy Center and End of the Trail Rescue. Next, we'll hear from one of the therapists from the Dreamcatcher Therapy Center. Tamara Graham has a background in teaching and has a master's degree in clinical social work. Tamara now specializes in what's called animal play therapy. Here's Tamara Graham talking about her therapeutical approach at Dreamcatcher Therapy Center.
I first have a client. We've gone through all the paperwork we have to go through. I'll have the client come in the office, might show the client some pictures of the horses, kind of get them introduced to the horse. I talk about the horse's blind spot. You know, for example, when you come at a horse straight on, that's their blind spot. And so they tend to jerk back or get scared. And that's why. It's not that they don't like you. It's that they can't see you. So, you know, to approach a horse from the side and how to kind of develop that relationship with a horse, you know, giving them some ideas of their body language, what they might be saying to you, what they might not be saying to you. There's a great 3-second rule that you can do with horses or any of your critters. And so you would kind of stand next to the horse and you might scratch him in a place for 3 seconds and then stop and see if he likes that. And if he likes that, you know, he likes being scratched there. If he doesn't really do much, then you might try scratching him someplace else. And then that way you kind of learn, you know, a little bit about the horse, what the horse likes. Observing the horse kind of is the first session. And then the second session, we always do a little bit of observation before we do an activity. I mostly work activities on the ground with the client. There's a really fun game that we play, and it's called The World's Most Powerful Horse. And so this activity is designed to help clients think about and experience what it means to feel powerful, to overcome adversity, and to master trauma. It provides opportunities to create safety, collaboration, a sense of self-worth, all the while having fun. And so you basically take a large tub of dress-up clothes out into the field and let the horse just go kind of check it out, see what it's about. And then what is the world's most powerful horse? What would you name it? What would it look like? What are its superpowers? And so whether you have a group or you have an individual, then they work with the horse. Does the horse like this hat on? Does the horse not like the hat on? And once they figure out what the world's most powerful horse's name is and kind of go through this activity, then they get to present their most powerful horse. After the exercise, we might do like a debriefing, you know, how was this activity for you, and talk a little bit about it. But I don't do too much because a lot of what happens is internal. It's in the body. When you take someone out of their body into their mind, it is a different type of healing. And so a lot of times our brains, they want control, they want answers, they want to figure it out. But what our bodies need is just time to process and heal. So being aware of those two different components and keeping the patient or the client in their body and in that healing and not getting them too much in their thinking brain. You know, therapy for mental health doesn't have to be serious things. It can be things such as attachment and relationship, empathy, self-regulation, specific problem resolution, overcoming fear of animals, building better attention, reducing anxiety, asking for help, and eliminating cruelty to animals.
Oh, yeah. I read also when I was researching for this story that horses don't have preconceived notions. They don't have judgment. Talk to me about how that's important for the therapy.
I love that question. There's a book called Animal Assisted Play Therapy by Risa Van Vliet and Tracy Faye Thompson. And that's kind of where I've gotten my training for working with the horses, equine therapy. And in their book, there's a quote by C. O'Connor, and he says, "It is the horse's differences to socialize man that brings about the successes that traditional therapists cannot achieve. Horses allow us to unite unconditionally with another living being. We can take our masks off without the fear of rejection. The horses know expectations, prejudices, or motives. All of these traits allow the client to open up, reveal themselves, and receive feedback from the horse's response. This is the key to healing, expressing true feelings and interactions with another being to develop a true self-concept." So horses don't lie. You know, they mirror us. So if we're putting on our outside that we're fine, everything's okay, they pick up on what's really going on inside and they let us know that. We have these little mirror neurons in our brain, and that's why, you know, babies will copy us. That's why they say modeling is so important, because people watch us, they mirror us. And so with the horses, we have that connection where they pick up on us. We may try to mirror something that we're not really, and they're like, "Yeah, okay, whatever, lady, you know, come on, I know you're angry, just, you know, let's deal with that."
Yeah.
But they're very patient. They're not going to make you deal with it. They're going to build that relationship with you and that trust with you so that you can let your walls down. You can let those masks off and you can just be who you are, because there's no fear of rejection or judgment or expectations.
That's great. We could all learn something from horses.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to ride. You don't have to be like, "Well, I couldn't do horse therapy because I don't know how to ride. I don't know how to halter a horse." It's not about any of that. It's just about being with the horse. My job as a therapist is to help you to heal so you don't have to come see me anymore. I don't want people to be dependent on me to make it through life. My ideal situation would be to work with the client for however long they need. And then maybe when they need to come in once in a while to check in or check up or get kind of like a therapy booster shot, you know.
That was Tamara Graham, one of the therapists at Dreamcatcher Therapy Center. Now we'll hear from Carol McBride. Carol is on the board of End of the Trail Rescue, and she also volunteers her time to both organizations by helping with their marketing, PR, and fundraising. I asked Carol how she found End of the Trail Rescue and Dreamcatcher.
I initially was going to volunteer at the Humane Society or the shelter in Montrose for the dogs and the cats. But I thought about that before I went over there, and I thought, you know, I just don't think I could do that, because I'd be bringing them home, a cat and a dog, every time I went over there. And I thought, I already have two cats, and that's all I can handle right now. And when I heard about Dreamcatcher, I thought, oh, wow, okay, that's with horses. Now, I cannot bring a horse home. So I thought I could be safe with that. And I'm not a horse person from the standpoint, I've never owned a horse. I don't ride. I'm here to learn about the horses as well as, you know, trying to help, basically.
Is this a good place for someone to come volunteer who has never been around horses?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's me. If anybody loves animals, this is a great place. And even if you don't ride, you don't own a horse, you don't know anything about a horse, you can volunteer here because we need help in so many areas. And you can learn about the horses. And Kathy is a wealth of information about horses.
Where could you use help specifically with both of the organizations?
One is the digital marketing. We need people who can take care of our website, managing that, getting us out on a regular basis with social media, Facebook, all the digital stuff. We need people here at the ranch to do the volunteering who can come and ride some of the horses, groom some of the horses, help with bringing them in from one pasture to another. I mean, there's so many things. Cleaning stalls, which of course that's not a fun thing, but we need help in all of those areas. We need board members and people who really want to be a part of what we are doing and have the time to do it. You can sponsor a horse, which is what I do. I sponsor Copper, who is just a sweet old boy. And it's wonderful because I can help to pay for some of the costs. It certainly doesn't cover all the costs, but I can help with some of the costs for him. And he stays at the ranch. I can come out and see him anytime I want. He's well taken care of. And it's just wonderful. So we look for people who can do that as well.
If someone wanted to sponsor a horse, what kind of donation are you looking for sponsorship?
We like to see if people could do $65 a month. I think that works out to $750 a year. You can do monthly or annually. I do monthly because it's easy for me to budget that way. But sometimes people can't quite afford that. So if they can pay maybe $25 a month or $30 a month, that can go to sponsor a horse and help still, even though it's so much more expensive even than the $65, but whatever people can afford. And if people want to sponsor a horse, they can go on End of the Trail website and they can see all the horses that need sponsors. They can also see the horses that are sponsored and who's sponsoring them. And they can see some stories about the horses, like, you know, sponsor me and I'm 10 years old. They can come and look at the, you know, horse and decide which one. The first step would be to go online and, you know, look at the horses, decide, you know, read the stories, decide on which one you might want to come and visit. Then it's so easy. It's just a matter of writing a check each month to End of the Trail or writing once a year or something like that. And it's so rewarding.
That was Carol McBride, board member of End of the Trail Horse Rescue and sponsor of Copper, one of the horses at the ranch. For information on volunteering, sponsoring a horse, or details about the Dreamcatcher Therapy Center, go to dctc.org or visit kvnf.org for direct links to both organizations. You've been listening to Local Motion. For KVNF News, I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.